Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article in the Salt Lake Tribune, an article by Robert Kirby titled, How Much Pain Does Your Faith Cause? And as we mentioned yesterday, Robert Kirby normally writes pieces that are more humorous. Mm-hmm. This is a much more serious piece that he has written for the Tribune. And we might mention that Kirby does come from a Mormon background. Sometimes when he writes, you might get the impression that he doesn't take Mormonism all that seriously. He jokes about the fact, as you mentioned yesterday, Eric, how he likes to sit in the back of the church and so he can be one of the first to get out when it's over. But he has made a lot of comments over the years that some Mormons, not having a sense of humor, find very offensive and have criticized him for that. This is not one of those funny pieces. I think he raises some legitimate questions. He says at the beginning that he's directing it to Mormons, but then he kind of adds on later on to say he's directing it to anybody who has one of those faiths that they believe with absolute certainty. So we're going through what he writes, and we're trying to figure out exactly what he's trying to get across. Sometimes he's not as clear as I would have hoped that he would have been. Yesterday, we looked at the question when he talks about, is your religious faith ever a major factor in causing pain or uncertainty about eternity? And yesterday I responded to that when it comes to my own personal beliefs regarding my personal eternity. And I would say, and I would hope that many Bible-believing Christians could concur with me and say that, no, I get a lot of comfort from my faith when I consider my eternity. That is secure in Christ because of what he did for me. There's nothing I can add to a debt that was paid in full, a debt that was paid by Jesus himself on the cross at Calvary. Now, Kirby's going to switch gears here, and he's going to give an example about, well, what if you believe a certain way, and let's say, for instance, you have a son who comes to you and announces that he is an atheist. And he goes on to say that not only does your son claim to be an atheist, but because of what you believe, you realize that the ramifications of this could mean that his new wife is going to be an atheist, and that all of your grandchildren from them are going to be reared as atheists. And then he says, I'm not picking on atheists here, I'm just using them to make a point. I could have used Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, Democrats, and anything else that puts a loved one crossways to your core beliefs. Well, let me ask you, Eric, how would you feel if you had a son or a daughter come to you and say, Dad, I no longer believe the Christian faith. I'm an atheist. Would that cause you pain?
Oh, it certainly would. And for what I think is a good reason, because in my belief system, a person who doesn't follow God is destined to be separated from God for eternity. So it certainly would cause me pain, but it's not going to stop me from loving that person and wanting to have the very best for them in whatever possible way that is. I understand where he's trying to get this at, because why can't we just all get along? And this is kind of the idea a lot of people have. So why would you let faith play such a factor? But I think he would be bothered if somebody was an exclusivist who said there was only one way, and that was his child. There probably would be some words said at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, that he would disagree with them because he doesn't want his kids to be perhaps raised in such a narrow-minded fashion. It would cause him pain probably too, his open-mindedness, because they chose that way.
The point that I'm trying to get from this is it seems like he's going to try and make the case that if you have a faith that causes you pain, that there must be something wrong with your faith. I would argue that that doesn't necessarily mean that, that that's not the proper conclusion. Just because your faith can cause you pain at times based on what you believe does not necessarily mean the faith is incorrect. I do get the impression, though, from what I'm reading, because Kirby does come from a Mormon background, he's probably seen a lot of very bad examples within the Mormon church when it comes to a son or a daughter of, let's say, another family, maybe his own, I don't know his own personal situation, where that does happen and the family responds with a very negative attitude towards that individual, so much so that the faith doesn't seem to compensate for that. It causes problems in the faith because instead of opening the arms and understanding where that person is coming from, there becomes a rift between the two and even an animosity between the one who has that unshakable faith with the person who has changed their faith.
Let me provide another illustration that maybe makes my point even better. How would he deal with the situation of his son marrying somebody from Warren Jeff's group, and then his son decides he's going to marry multiple women, and his wife believes that, so do his other wives. He's going to have children, and they're going to be in multiple relationships when they get old enough, when they get 14, and the prophet can now have them married to some 78-year-old man. Won't that cause him pain to know that his children are in that kind of situation, his grandchildren as well? Yeah.
I know where you're going with this, and I think you're right. I think that would probably cause him pain.
So in essence, his faith or his belief system is going to be harmed by the choice of his child choosing something that he doesn't approve of.
He goes on to say, I'm also not singling out sons. The person in question could be your father, your spouse, a sister, a daughter, a best friend, or anyone else you hope to see in heaven when you get there. Sometimes wonder, in reading some of the things that Kirby has said in the past, if maybe he's writing to all those who criticized him for some of the things he said, and he's been at the other end of that treatment, and maybe he's kind of writing this to get back at those who criticized him. Well, he says, in every other regard, Buddy, and Buddy is the son, this hypothetical son that he mentions earlier, who has become an atheist. He says, in every other regard, Buddy is still the same kid you raised. He's happy, smart, loving, and even respectful to your beliefs. Okay, I would say, yeah, I could still get along with a person like that. Of course, why shouldn't I? I think as a Christian, I'm supposed to be able to get along with people who don't agree with me. It doesn't make it easier because we don't share the same values or goals or even interests any longer. So I would have to say that, yeah, that would put a little bit of a damper on the relationship because people, humans, do tend to hang around with and have more in common with people who share their interests. This is going to be a huge factor, of course. It's not going to be something we can discuss anymore. Whereas before, I may have had a fun time talking with a son or a daughter or a relative, a loved one's about theology and things like that. Now that has come to a stop. So it's going to definitely cause somewhat of a damper on that.
You know, and he asked the question, does your faith make you feel better about him? Or is your belief in your theology a constant source of worry and sorrow for you now? And again, I go back to, I don't think the polygamous son and daughters-in-law are going to make it any easier for him. His belief, his faith, if you want to call it that, is possibly going to cause him a lot of worry. What's going to happen to my grandchildren? How is this all going to work out? I don't like the way that he went. This is, I think, something that he's missing here because he's making it sound like, well, this boy named Buddy is respectful of your beliefs and why can't everything be the same? It's not going to be the same in either situation where we're going to have atheists for, you know, a son and a daughter-in-law or he's going to have polygamists. I think it goes both ways there.
He says, hey, Buddy's not following the plan. He's going to hell or wherever true believers like you don't go. In parentheses, there he'll either sulk forever that he's no longer welcome at eternal family reunions, or every morning his entrails will be torn out again and used to floss Satan's teeth. Anyway, it will be bad.
This is a straw man argument of what hell would be like, and you know he makes a little bit of fun with it, but the idea of hell is in. Bottom line is separation from God for eternity. It's a horrible thing, and the Bible talks about hell more than it talks about heaven. So anybody who wants to glorify the Bible as well, it's always teaching about heaven. It's not really true.
Well, the thing is it was Jesus that talked about this.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're going to say that there's no such place as that, then you're going to have to demonstrate to me that Jesus got it wrong. And it can't just be a kind of answer that says, well, I disagree with Jesus, therefore he's wrong. You're going to have to do better than that. Mm-hmm. Because if it came to two opinions, either yours or Jesus's, I have to tell you, I'm going to go with Jesus every time.
And you might not like the idea of hell. I mean, I don't like the idea of gravity when I'm 20,000 feet in the air in a plane that doesn't have any more engines. I mean, that's not a nice fact. But the reality is hell is a real place that is going to be endless torment. And I'm going to do what I can to let people know what the differences are so that they might have a chance to be able to accept the free gift that God has made available to us.
The next sentence, what does he say there?
He says, but let's not worry about forever. Let's stick with the right now. Do you believe you're so right about Buddy's new godless situation that it detracts from a healthy and loving relationship in the here and now?
As a Christian, I would say it shouldn't. And this is something that I've said to many Latter-day Saints that I've talked to that are coming out of the Mormon Church or have come out of the Mormon Church. How is your family reacting to your decision? And more often than not, they're saying, well, it hasn't been good. The family is not treating them very well. In fact, it's been very unhealthy. So if he's pointing to Mormons here, I could see that.
Neither you nor I have ever been a Latter-day Saint, and so we can't necessarily understand because we haven't experienced it. But how many people do you and I know that have been excommunicated from their family? I have a close friend who has not had a chance to talk to his dad for probably over a year because there's been an excommunication. You're no longer my son. I mean, this is worse than in Judaism where they'll do the same kind of thing sometimes and you leave the faith, you're leaving your heritage. And in Mormonism, that's so often the case, and it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. You would think that if those loved ones really did love you, the reaction should be from them more of a grieving, if anything, because they are concerned about your welfare. They're concerned about your eternal welfare. If he's trying to get across that you have this grieving, your faith must be wrong, then I would disagree strongly. I would disagree very strongly. But what is causing that grief? It's a genuine concern for their eternal welfare. What's wrong with that? Now, when he starts talking about how it affects you in the here and now, I would agree. It should not affect them in a negative way if there is a genuine concern for that individual. There should be a continual pouring out of a love towards them, even though you don't agree in the direction that they have gone.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.